To begin with, I was no longer a police surgeon, but a physician. Primarily, I suppose, a diagnostician in private practice, and also a professor in the Faculty of Medicine, diagnosis. I was thus a rather unusually qualified bystander when poor old Father Hobbs died right in front of the high altar at St. Aidan's on the morning of Good Friday. Instinctively, like a fire horse when it hears the bell, I darted forward as he fell. I was still not old enough to know that a doctor should never be in a hurry. When Charlie waved me back, hissing, "This is holy ground, leave it to me," I did not want to insist on my rights, or at any rate my privileges, as a medical man. Charlie was insisting on his rights as a priest in a way I resented, but I did not want to get into a tit-for-tat quarrel with him. We were members of two rival priesthoods, he the man of God, and I the man of science. And in the circumstances I thought my priest equal, if not superior, to his. But I did not want to show pique or press a petty advantage. We were in a church. Holy Communion had begun, and the dying man was behind the altar rails, so I suppose I thought Charlie was on his own turf, and must be respected accordingly. Was this chivalry toward the weaker, or snotty contempt for a lesser creature? I suppose it was a little of both. If I had taken the teeth, the story that this young journalist tried to extract from me would have been very different. A better story, I cannot say, but I was certainly not going to tell Miss Esme Barron of the Colonial Advocate everything I knew. If I leave a few notes on the story in my poorly kept casebook, somebody may find it when I am dead. What they will find is much more than a few notes, but when I wrote this, I did not know how much my story would possess me. I had no intention of confiding in this very attractive, tactful young woman, whom I did not trust an inch. She has asked a question, and I must answer. Yes, I signed the death certificate. I saw the body as soon as it was removed to the vestry. Who moved it? A couple of deacons who were helping to serve Mass. What's a deacon, exactly? A sort of priest in training. It's the lowest rank of the ministry in the Anglican Church. A deacon is working his way up to becoming a fully ordained priest, and he has some clerical functions, but he can't celebrate communion or give the blessing. Nor can he hear confessions, which was heavy work at St. Aidan's. It was what they call high church? Very high church, as high as the bishop would tolerate. This mass of the pre-sanctified on Good Friday morning was very high church stuff. Daring, would you call it? Well, if you think it daring to revive a 9th-century ceremony in 1951 in Toronto, which hasn't what you might call strong medieval roots. What was it like? Very fancy? Fancy isn't the word I'd choose. It gets its name from the fact that the bread and wine for the communion are prepared and blessed the night before and kept in a side chapel. It was something special for Good Friday, and at 9 o'clock in the morning the full forces of St. Aidan's were present. The gallery choir was there, with the famous Dr. De Courcy Parry at the organ, and the chancel choir, they did the plain song bits, with the notorious head of the chancel plain song choir, Darcy Dwyer, wearing the robes appropriate to his office, and the much-loved old Father Ninian Hobbs as celebrant, assisted by Father Charles Iredale, whom I knew well, and nearly 200 of the faithful in the church. What kind of people? Who went to a place like that? All sorts. A typical St. Aidan's group, some obviously well-fixed, some obviously poor, all sorts of people, from white Anglo-Saxons to black people, because St. Aidan's drew heavily on the black population of Toronto, many of whom at that time were employed as porters on the railways. Now and then some of them acted as servers at Mass. They and some of the congregation used to joke about black masses. That was the sort of joke St. Aidan's people loved. A whiff of gunpowder amid the incense. There were 9 nuns of the Order of St. John there. They had a convent and school nearby. Oh, it was a very close community at St. Aidan's, and as it drew people